Good morning, EC Grace. I trust you've come this morning prepared to worship the Lord, that you enjoyed the worship video from Kayla. You obviously heard the music moving into the message today, and that is our theme song that we are singing in the Blessed Life. You know, we're nearing the end of the Blessed Life series. After today, we will only have 4 messages left. We will end with 28 messages on the Sermon on the Mount. And still, we could have gone even deeper in more detail. It's amazing about God's Word. There's so much to learn, so much to feed on, so much to just bring into our life and allow God to rule and reign in our hearts. We got to love God's Word, right? I hope you've been blessed and that you've been applying all that you have been reminded of and all that we have learned through this series, that the Lord wants us to be living the blessed life. It's no coincidence that we are here in this section 33 weeks later when we started this series on September 8th, 2019. You say, wait a minute, 33 weeks ago, we're only in 28 when we complete. Well, that's because we've had Christmas, we've had Thanksgiving, we've had New Year's, we've had communion, we've had Easter. But in a time where none of us could have even thought of our current condition was when we started the Blessed Life series. This morning, we're going to return to our study of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm excited about the Lord's Sermon on the Mount and what we've been in and what we've been learning and gleaning from God's Word. God has brought us, I believe, providentially to this place at this time in His Word, to His teaching concerning worry, concerning anxiety for such a time as we're in. Who could have predicted this when we started? Let's face it, worry and anxiety are definitely something we all face in temptation. And depending the level of our trial, the level of our current circumstances dictates the level of that temptation. Sometimes it's extremely great to fall into worry and anxiety. In fact, right now in our world, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of worry going on. There's been tears and continued fears as the COVID-19 virus has swept over the globe. It has brought sickness, death, and it has brought on an economic crisis in our nation. It has brought on a very serious trial we find ourselves in, along with massive uncertainty for the future. As bad as this is, it could always be worse. But this is not the first time that the world has been in crisis. This is not even the worst time the world has been in crisis. And we know, in fact, there's a greater crisis coming one day in the end of the age. But in every time, in every crisis, in every trial, we're to look to our Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us to believe in Him, who tells us to follow Him, who tells us, do not worry. Sometimes those words seem so easy to say and so hard to implement. God says, do not worry, reminding us that He, our Heavenly Father, to whom we pray for, remember, for our daily bread, that He will meet our needs, that He will take care of us, that He will provide for us. The other day on Fox News, as it was broadcasting, there was a sign somebody had pinned on the wall in the background, and it said this: when life gets blurry, adjust your focus. When life gets blurry, adjust your focus. And that is what Jesus is going to do in our text this morning. He's going to adjust our focus and remind us of some very important truths when it comes to worry and anxiety. He's going to help us adjust our focus, help us adjust any blurry vision that could be going on, so that we, no matter what we face in life, no matter what our current condition, whether it's COVID-19 or what may come tomorrow or what may come next year, or however long the Lord tarries as we face trials and struggles, that we can face them in any troubled day with peace and with confidence. Peace and confidence so elude people, they even can elude the believer, and that doesn't need to be the case. This morning, you're going to notice something. In verses 19 through 24 concerning money, we're going to skip that today. However, we will be coming back to that next week. I wanted to deal with the issue of worry now, so that when we come back to money next week, we will understand even more that we do not need to worry. Let's go to Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And while you may be turning there, you'll see it here on the screen, but let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, we do hallowed your name. We want to give you praise and glory. Lord, you deserve all of our praise. Lord, I pray that we are putting you first in our lives, that you are building us in trust and building us in faith. Lord, we lift up our nation right now, those who are sick, those who are in sorrow. We lift up those who are struggling in the world today, in our nation, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Lord, we ask that your will be done, but that, Lord, you will bring us through this, learning even greater truths and a deeper, deeper commitment and fellowship with you. I pray this morning as we listen to your words that you spoke so many years ago that are still true, that are still abiding, that are still alive, that are still relevant to us today and will be forever, that we will apply them to our lives, that we will use what you want to tell us, not only to please you, but to live the blessed life you've intended for us. In your precious name, amen. So here we are in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, there we have this text and what Jesus wants us to know. We're going to look at that now. Here in the text, five times Jesus speaks of worry in 25, 27, verse 28, 31, and 34. And three times Jesus says flat out, do not worry. Three times. Five times he speaks of worry. Jesus does something here. He goes right to the heart of it. He goes right to the heart of where we all can easily fall, where we all can easily take ourselves, as we easily can go into worry. He goes right to the heart of matter, where we can easily live there if we don't adjust our focus. In fact, do not worry in verse 25 is in a grammatical construction, which means this: stop worrying, stop doing, worry. Stop worrying. Stop what you are doing. Quit it. That's what Jesus is saying. But I want to get one thing clear before we move one step forward. God here makes no provision at all, none, for those who are in the world, which means who are those? Those who are non-kingdom citizens or unbelievers. He does, though, in his goodness and in his loving kindness, in his mercy, in his grace, he calls the rain to fall on the good and the evil, that's for sure. But he does not make a promise to the lost as he does to his children to provide for our needs. Who are these children? Who are God's children? It is those who believe in him, and as we've seen in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, true kingdom citizens. To those who are born again through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, who are in the family of God. Remember, he's our Father. We saw that just a few nights ago, Wednesday evening. So therefore, Jesus is speaking to true kingdom citizens in contrast to who? In contrast to what he claims in verse 32 that he calls Gentiles, or that word pagan in the NIV. It's those who are not part of the kingdom of heaven, who are in the world and who do not confess or believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So as born-again believers, what's some contrast that we see? We can see it right here in Matthew. As born-again believers, we're to love differently than the Gentile slash pagan. We see that in 5:47. We're to pray differently than the pagans or Gentiles. We see in chapter 6:7. And when it comes to worry, we are to live differently than the Gentile or the pagan. We're to live differently in this area of worry, as well as the others, that we may be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish through us, that we might shine as lights in the world and minister as the salt of the earth. This is beautiful. It's a purpose. So to encourage us not to worry or to stop it, Jesus gives us a picture of God's provision in nature. What Jesus is saying is this: you are worried about your life, and how will you feed yourself and your body? How will you clothe it? But I say to you, there we go again, look at the birds of the air. Look at them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Verse 26. Look at the fields of the ground, from the lilies to the grass. Your heavenly Father, God, clothes them in 28 through 30. And he asks a very great question in verse 26. Are you not worth much more than they? Are you not worth much more than they? The answer is to be clear. He says in verse 30, will he not much more clothe you? How much more are you worth? Will he not much more clothe you? What is the answer to these questions? We know it without doubt. The answer is yes. Yes, he will. You are infinitely worth much more than birds, than dirt, and grass. You are created in the very image of God. You have a soul that will live on for all eternity. You have the ability through the pathway of Jesus Christ to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And if you've done that, you'll be with Christ for eternity. Not grass, not birds, not lilies. You are a child of your heavenly Father. That's a big shout out, amen, God. You are a citizen and heir of the kingdom of God. That is a massive statement. What a What a place to belong. Imagine this for a moment. Imagine a home in which the father of the home has a garden. He also has a bird feeder. He has different veggies and flowers in that garden that he faithfully fertilizes and that he faithfully waters. And he makes sure he even keeps the bird feeder full of feed. And he places the bird feeder in a position that even the squirrels can't get up there and steal the bird's food. He has a soaker hose intricately weaved throughout the garden just to distribute the water perfectly. He even built a nice fence around that garden to keep animals out from destroying it. He even put wooden stakes in to tie plants to so that they had the best ability to grow and not bend over and break. He did everything possible to ensure the bird had its food and that garden would grow and produce wonderful fruit, wonderful vegetables. Now imagine his son one morning, wakes up in the morning, his young son, and he's worrying a lot. And his father says to him, "Son, why are you worried? What are you fretting over? What are you worried about?" And he says, "Well, Dad, I don't know if you're going to feed me anymore. I don't know if you're going to have a place for me to sleep tonight. I'm a little worried. I don't know if I will have a bed in the morning. I don't know if I'm going to have food. I don't know if you're going to continue to keep purchasing my clothing." And imagine the father takes him outside, marches him over to the garden, marches him over to the bird feeder, and reminds him of how well he takes care of these birds, how well he tends to this garden. And he says this, "Don't you think you are worth more to me than these flowers, than these vegetables, than these birds? Don't you think you're worth more to me than a carrot? Wow. You're my son. I'll take care of you. I love you. Don't you know that? Don't you know by all your experience with me how much I love you? So don't worry. Don't worry about these type of things. I will take care of you. Trust me." That's basically what Jesus did here. The illustration I just gave you doesn't seem reasonable. It doesn't seem intelligent for sure. It seems ludicrous that this child would worry about this coming from a loving father. That is what Jesus wants us to see as well, that this is not reasonable not to trust in him. Of course, let's get clear about one thing. Jesus is not teaching us that we need not work, is he? This same Bible that says, look at the birds and don't worry, is the same Bible that looks at the ant and says, get to work in Proverbs 6:6-11. If you have the ability to work, go to work. We're to work with God as he provides for us. We're to obey his word. We are to do everything we can in our ability to plan and to provide for ourselves and our families and trust God for those results. Work, yes. Worry, no. Especially when our plans start to falter. Especially when our plans start to fade away, start to become ruined, or our provisions begin to fail or start to run out. That is a time not to worry because our Father will never fail us. You know, it's very amazing that there are times where we have to trust in the Lord and say, look, I'm going to trust that your plans are greater than mine. It's your will be done moment. We were reminded of this in our Lord's pattern of prayer that our God and Father in verse 8 knows what you need before you ask him. The truth is repeated right here in this passage in verse 32. And we need to take that truth to heart and apply it to our life. Proverbs 25:20 says this. It speaks of those who, quote, sing songs to troubled hearts. In the context of that verse, if you may want to go there later, are about people that are not in touch with the troubled person. They are not in touch or in tune with the troubled heart. But we must always remember that is not our Heavenly Father, ever. He is truly in touch with you. He truly knows your troubles. He knows everything about you. He knows the hardships you are facing today, and he knows the hardships that you will face someday. Those of you who are separated from your families, separated from your loved ones, those of you who may know people or have family, or you yourself are undergoing treatment for COVID-19, or have family and friends dealing with the sickness, maybe even death has invaded. How about those of you who are in retirement and you're seeing your retirement savings slipping away or taking a very large hit, taking massive setbacks? Or those of you who see that hard-earned money that you save start dwindling away as you now need to use it to continue to supply your needs through the Lord? How about all of those who have lost their jobs and are fearful of what the future holds or whether their jobs are going to come back? You see, COVID-19 hasn't just infected people with the virus. It has infected our society. It has infected our economy. It has infected our future. And that's why we saw in the Easter message of hope that we need an injection of hope. And we have that hope in God that he will keep his word to us. How about those of you who are isolated at home, away from friends, away from families, and are going through this crisis each and every day by yourself? And on the list goes, because I didn't even cover the half of it. We must realize that God knows what you're going through, and he knows what you will go through, and he cares. He cares for you. He loves you. He knows everything about you. Do you remember Israel in their troubles? They made the mistake of questioning God. They asked him if he knew what they were going through, and they doubted him. And by implication, did he even care? In Isaiah 40, verse 27, it says, Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? God is saying to them, why would you ever think that? Why would you ever doubt me? Especially in light of who I am. And he began to remind them of who he is. In verse 12 and 26, for example, of Isaiah 40, he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their hosts by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. He's saying, I know how many gallons of water on the face of this earth that I've created. I know in 9-inch increments, a span, the vast space of the universe that I have created. I know how much dust is on the earth that I have created. I know how much the mountains weigh. Why? Because I created them. I know how many stars I've created, and I know them all by name, and not one of them is missing. I know them. I created them. I not only feed the birds, I have created them, but I even know when one little sparrow falls to the ground. And I know how many hairs are on your head. I know when you lie down at night and that little tear slips down your face and falls on your pillow, Psalm 56:8. I know everything there is to know about you. I know you've lost your job. I know during this pandemic you are tempted to worry about how you're going to live, what's going to happen in this uncertain future, how you're going to feed yourself, how you're going to clothe yourself and your family, how you're going to pay for your mortgage if this goes on much longer. I know, he says. I've got it covered. I care for you. I love you. Don't you know I care, he says? Not just as the creator who knows all things. If it was just that God knew about it, that wouldn't give us great hope. But he doesn't only know about it, but as your father, he cares about it because he loves you. It's wonderful to know that God knows it all, but it's wonderful to know even better that he cares about it because he loves you, therefore he's going to do something about it. God said to Israel, "Do I know your troubles that worry you so? Look to my creation." God says to us today, "Do I know and care and love you? Look to my cross. Look to my cross." You see, our Heavenly Father knows just what we need and when we need it. So today, I want to first encourage us not to worry in this first encouragement that Jesus gives us a picture of God's provision in nature. Let's now look at another encouragement for us not to worry. Another picture Jesus gives us, the promise of God's provision for his children. In Matthew 6:33, he says, "All these things will be added to you," the NIV, "given to you." What things? What are you talking about? He's talking about food, clothing, shelter, the necessary things of life that we worry about. We talked about this in communicating quality words in our Lord in the Lord's Prayer. He's not speaking about our luxuries. He's not speaking about all the wonderful things he's blessed us with that are far above and beyond anything we need. He's speaking about your daily needs he will provide. Jesus then adds this, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And the longer you live life, the more you realize that that is absolutely true. Every worry we have is always about tomorrow. Worries are always about what we think is going to happen or what is not going to happen. We have no ability to see into the future and to predict with any certainty what events are going to happen moment by moment. Only God knows. So when we worry about whether God will provide for our needs for the future, we are really doubting God's promises. We're actually impugning his very character. You see, worry about tomorrow is faithless. Verse 30, when Jesus says, "You of little faith." Furthermore, in verse 27, it is fruitless. It is fruitless to worry about tomorrow as it is to think that worrying about tomorrow could what? Add a single hour to your life, in verse 27. It's true, people can worry themselves to death. We've heard that. Worry and anxiety cause massive stress and trouble to the body. Look, we do not know for sure what will happen tomorrow. Do you remember at the end of 2019, we presented you with a wonderful calendar for EC Grace? It had all kinds of things that we were going to do together on that calendar, ministries we were going to serve together in, all kinds of functions that we were going to have. But do you remember what I told you? I said, here's a man-made calendar, here's our vision, we've prayed over it, and we're going to present this to you. But remember, everyone, I said, it's in God's hands, and he will approve this calendar, and he will change it at will. Well, wow, did he not do that? Could we have expected how much he was going to change our calendar? But he did. He knows about tomorrow. We do not. We do know this. We have the one and the only, our God, caring for us, loving us, who can do things and change things about tomorrow that we could never imagine or ever predict. In fact, Jesus could come tomorrow and take us to glory. What if we knew that on this Monday, tomorrow at 2 p.m., Jesus is coming back. Or Thursday, or the following week, or 3 months from now. Here's what I do know. I cannot predict the future of the day or the hour that the Lord's coming back, but that day is going to happen. Jesus has it all sovereignly in his control. So Jesus says, live for today. Live for today. God will give us the grace we need for today, but he doesn't for tomorrow's worries. He gives you the grace you need to not worry about them. So how are we to live today? How are we to manage? Put another way, how do we claim his promise of provision for tomorrow? Here's how. He tells us here in his word, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in your life. That's how you go through each and every day. That's how the Holy Spirit indwelling you is guiding you, counseling you, comforting you, using you for his purposes, using you for his glory. That is how he takes you and readjusts your thinking in your heart as you align yourself on seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus here in that statement is bringing back to us again that which he told us is to be the priority of his followers. Back in chapter 6, 9 through 10. Remember he said, pray then this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's right where he wants our priorities and our alignment to be. And when we focus on those things through a heart of quality that's sincere and real, the Holy Spirit floods into you and takes care of worry and anxiety. If this has become a little blurry, let's adjust our focus right now. What is life all about? You could ask that question and get 100 different answers from 100 different people. But it doesn't matter what people say life is all about. What is our purpose for living? You could do the same thing and get 100 different purposes. But what does the Bible say? You see, we are to focus our lives on investing in the kingdom and the matter of righteousness, which is what? Living right according to God's word. And not getting bogged down with the worries about our physical necessities and the worry of the world. And we see that in Matthew 13, 22. It's about living right before man, living right before God, focused on Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Give all these worries of the world over to God while we give ourselves over to him. That's the key. Give the worries of this temporal life to God and give ourselves to him. To do his will and to advance his kingdom, to advance his glory. Here's the bottom line. Here it is. As we pursue and focus on the spiritual things and the service of the Lord, hear me now. As you pursue and focus on the spiritual things and the service of the Lord, he promises to provide the physical things necessary to enable us to do his work. Did you hear that? He promises to provide the physical things necessary to enable you to do his work. There's purpose. You know, you are immortal doing God's work until God chooses to call you home, until he says your work on earth is done. As you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in verse 33, he will provide. That is a conditional clause. It's conditional. First seek my kingdom. First seek my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry, Jesus says. I'm going to fulfill my purpose in you for my glory, for the kingdom, and I will take care of you. We are to be heavenly minded. The more earthly minded we are, the more worry and anxiety invades us. And as we become heavenly minded, we start living our life in light of that eternal focus. We start bringing all the fuzzy into focus as we see the big picture in serving Jesus Christ. So if your life is getting a little blurry by worry, let's adjust our focus in a hurry. And pull out some of these biblical erasers I want to close with today. Biblical worry erasers, I should say. Here are a few worry erasers, and there's many in God's word, but here are a few to leave with you today. Start rejoicing in your salvation. Start rejoicing in your salvation. There is a gospel hymn that you all are very aware of that says this, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Praise God. We just celebrated this. We just celebrated in communion. We just celebrated on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, our dear Lord dying on the cross on our behalf, dying there for our sins, and then raising from the dead that we might have eternal life. And that was a clear injection of boundless hope that we can have in our life, which erases worry about today. It erases worry about tomorrow. It erases the worry of, is God going to take care of me? Absolutely. We serve a God who can raise the dead, remember? No matter what is going on in the world today, no matter what is going on around us, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it was a happy day when he washed our sins away, and we should be rejoicing each and every day as he continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and forgiving our sins. Praise God for our salvation. What are you thinking on? How are you allowing God to renew your mind? You can focus on that, rejoicing in your salvation. Another worry eraser that adjusts our focus is this, thanking God for our riches. Wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not rich. In fact, I'm losing money, not gaining money. That's not the riches we're talking about. You may be suffering great economic loss. And as the longer this goes on, you definitely will suffer economic loss. But let's remember what Jesus said to the church in Smyrna in Revelation. He said, I know your tribulation and your poverty. And he added this, but you are rich. You are rich, Revelation 2:9. You see, we are wealthy beyond imagination. We are rich beyond all knowledge. Rich where it counts, my friends. And so many spiritual blessings that God's given us because of the happy day when we received him as our Lord and Savior, that happy day when he washed our sins away. We have all the blessings from God. Not only that, one day you have a mansion waiting for you in glory, in heaven, where God uses gold for asphalt. Wealth is nothing to God. He created it all. And he's going to bring us to glory one day, and we're going to experience our glorious inheritance that is beyond imagination, that's indescribable and unbelievable. We can focus on that when you start to worry. Another worry eraser that adjusts our focus is praying to God for his peace. We know this very well in Philippians 4, verse 6. Anxiety, my friends, when replaced by prayer, real, authentic, quality words, will be erased. It ushers in the very presence and peace of God himself. It's replaced by the peace of heart and mind that only God can give, that God himself will give you to the sincere believer with the sincere request. In these times, my friends, if you're looking down, start looking up to God. Don't lock up, look up. We can focus on that. Another worry eraser that adjusts our focus is looking for opportunities to witness and do good. What are the opportunities you're focused on? Are you taking advantage of the opportunities God may be giving you? Paul said in Galatians 6:10, so then, while we have opportunity, Let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of the faith. While we have opportunity. In Luke 21, Jesus speaking to his disciples about the trials and the persecutions they would come under one day. He was also speaking in the same about the end of the age of the trials that the tribulation saints were going to come under one day in verse 13. And he said this, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony in verse 13. Here is a truth of biblical wisdom, that God uses trials to train us, to mold us, to stretch us, and use us in the lives of others. The fact is this, when you are seeking and focusing on his kingdom first, in the most minor and the most severe trials, we are to look for the opportunity that God is going to give us to be his testimony, to be his lights, to be his salt, and do good to others so that we may point them to God. And as we saw earlier in the Blessed Life series in Matthew, we should let our good works shine to men so that they may see God's glory in you. People are looking for hope. People are looking for hope now more than ever. We're hearing stories of people coming to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And on Wednesday nights, and I hope on your daily prayer life, we're praying that a spiritual awakening will go across the globe, will rush across our country. And not just any spiritual awakening, but awakening to the truth that God created the world. There's one God, only one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who sent his Son to die for the world, that people may come to a true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And how does God want to use you? What opportunities is he giving you right now? People are looking for hope, and we have it. Let's share it. Let's show it. Let's point them to the Father. Another worry eraser that adjusts our focus is doubling down on our devotion to the Lord. Here's a homework assignment for you. Go read Matthew 6:24. This is doubling down on our devotion to the Lord. We will be there next week, so read it beforehand. You see, in that verse, God, our Heavenly Father, he wants something. He wants our total trust. He wants our undivided attention. He wants all of our love, all of our devotion, all of our service. He has a purpose for you. This COVID-19 virus is a reminder that money and possessions are uncertain and fleeting. We went from what we knew as one of the strongest economies we ever had to overnight, an economy in peril. Money flies away. Possessions get destroyed or can be taken away. Life at its best in 6:19 is brief. Life is so brief. It is also a revealer of this, that if our lives are blurred by sinful worry, by sinful anxiety, that our focus is too much on the world, our focus is too much on self-trust, too much on our desires. And our faith needs some strengthening there, and our priorities need realigning. These times of social distancing and self-seclusion can be negative in so many ways. But how do you take a negative? How do you take a trial and turn it into a positive? You see, you can look at the positive of such a negative and say, this is a wonderful time for me to draw nearer and nearer to the Lord. This is a wonderful time for me to grow in God's word and grow in prayer and grow in my communion and fellowship with the Lord. This is a wonderful time to realign my priorities, where we can find a renewal in our love, a deeper commitment of love and dedication and devotion and service to our Father, where he can use us for his glory. You know, the Apostle Peter reminds us that one day the Lord our shepherd will appear and we will receive the unfading crown of glory. Do you look forward to that day? Do you contemplate what that day when the Lord will finally appear and you will receive the unfading crown of glory? But in the meantime, what are we to do? We are to keep casting. Keep casting all our anxiety on Him because He cares for us, 1 Peter 5:7. Isn't it beautiful? You all know my son Gabe, right? As you know, he's an RN. He's also a RN in the U.S. Army Reserves. He was called up and deployed to Detroit as one of the new COVID-19 hotspots. He wrote this, "If I trust God with my eternal security, why wouldn't I trust Him with my present anxiety? He has always been faithful to me. He will continue to be." I thought, what a wonderful sentence. Two sentences. Succinct heavenly wisdom right there. Perfect reasoning with perfect biblical counsel from the God of all comforts, from the God, our wonderful counselor. That is the attitude we're to have as we look to what God has done for us. Let's not be like those disciples who were caught up in that terrible storm, do you remember, on the Sea of Galilee when they cried out to Jesus, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" What was the answer to that question? Of course he did. They weren't even perishing. As we have seen, we should never doubt the Lord. Don't allow worry and anxiety to invade your life and cause you to impugn God's character, cause you to doubt His love, His care, His compassion for you. Instead of looking down at the trial, look up and read Colossians 3, 1 through 2, and remind yourself of this. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on this earth. There is the person who is seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. I love this verse in 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. And Jesus wants us to consider and remember what He's going to continue to do for you. I hope you are encouraged today to keep being in the Word, trusting in the Lord, rejoicing in your salvation, thanking God for your riches, praying to God for His peace, looking for opportunities to witness and do good, doubling down on your devotion to the Lord, and stomping out worry in your life, all the while allowing God to flood in the blessed life. We can do it. We can trust God for it all. Seek Him first. Seek His righteousness. Let Him fulfill His purpose in you. God bless you, EC Grace. Have a great day.